Going this morning. Some of you saw this advertised on Facebook, I hope that it'll be a series. It's only, I don't know if you're allowed to call it series or not, because there's only two of them, this Sunday and next Sunday. This morning, we're going to talk about forgiveness as far as God is concerned. I just want to feel forgiveness from the Father. I want to have that. And resurrection morning, I think, is a great place for us to actually bring our focus down to that level. Next Sunday, God willing, we're going to look at the subject of, I want to be able to really feel like I truly forgave that person, to be able to let it go, to be able to move on, which may be one of the toughest things that we find to do in the Christian service. And so that's what we'll deal with next Sunday. But this morning, dealing with this idea of forgiveness. Thank you, Randy. I also want to applaud the reading. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. How powerful is that? And if you know anything about the crucifixion weekend, if perhaps you have gone west and you've seen the Passion play, and you've seen them enact all of those things, and the power of the resurrection as it all comes together, and you recognize that on Friday the demons are laughing, on Friday Satan thinks that he's winning, on Friday everything seems to be stacked against Jesus. His Father turns his back on him, his best friends have run to the hills, Jesus is alone, it's Friday, everything's dark, everything's gloomy, there is no hope, there is no positive, there's no silver lining to the cloud, it seems. But Sunday's coming. And we are there. That's today. That's this moment. That's what Christianity revolves itself around. That's why even today, though the work week starts on a Monday, most of the planners that you will buy at various places still start their week on a Sunday. Because this is where it all starts. This is the crux of all that is good. Friday was horrible. But Sunday's coming. And we are there. I find it interesting in the Old Testament that Jesus specifically according to John being the creative factor, but God speaks. And it says that as he creates all things, everything's good until he gets to man, and that's very good. We're really good. And then comes Saturday. And on Saturday it says that he rests. It's not that God was wore out. It just means that he stopped his creative process. And because of that then, he says to his people, the Jews, I want you to treasure Saturday. It's going to become the Sabbath day. And so don't do any work on the Sabbath day. And they didn't. By law. They went out of their way to make sure they didn't do anything laborious on the Sabbath day. To the extent that they would actually prepare their meals ahead of time, etc., etc. But then comes Jesus. And when Jesus comes, everything changes. No longer do we look towards the end of the week. We long for the beginning of the week. You see, we are a people of new beginnings. We are a people who start things because Sunday, the first day of the week, is when our Lord and Savior came from the tomb. Friday was bad, but Sunday's coming. And we live in the Sundays. That's what this is all about. Christianity is about the Sundays. And so we celebrate. But one of my great concerns about our celebration is that we don't really understand forgiveness. I know, growing up in this ultra-conservative fellowship, that there were moments in my life that I experienced it, but it was kind of like riding a roller coaster. I can so vividly remember the moments when I came to the top and I felt forgiveness and everything was good and all life was where it needed to be. And I felt complete spiritually speaking. But it wasn't long until I was going down the other side again. Somebody mentioned a frailty in my life, or I encountered some temptation that I gave into and I just felt so bad about it. And I'm down the other side. And then I would have one of those moments again and I come up the other end to the peak, and maybe it's a church camp and I'm looking across the campfire and I'm seeing one of my friends as they're impacted by the prayer or they're impacted by the song. And I'm thinking how cool this is that I am part of this family, and I'm at the top again. And then I had that moment. And I slid down the other edge. And it just seems like my entire life has been that roller coaster ride. And sometimes there hasn't been the consistency that I really wanted with regards to those things. How do you know that you've been forgiven? How do you arrive at a place where forgiveness really sticks and you appreciate the fact that I have been offered and accepted that which is from God? Thank you, Randy. I saw two of you jump up to go get one. Thank you, Diana, too. I noticed it. I don't know what it's about my throat. Forgiveness. In order to run this rabbit, I want to suggest to you that the title in front of you is not accurate. It's there for a purpose. And the purpose is to point out something that is very inaccurate. When we reduce forgiveness to a feeling, we really do underestimate the power of Crucifixion Weekend, don't we? Feelings are so, they're so light and fluffy and hard to get your hand around, and most certainly difficult for you to keep. I told my teen class that I was going to do this, and Mitchell just got all excited. You'd think he was 3 years old. But we're going to blow some bubbles this morning. If I can get the little wand out of here. So to the little ones looking, we're going to do some bubbles here. There's a purpose for this. There you go, Mitchell. You promised you were going to jump up and look at you being all dignified. Can you see the bubbles? Aren't they great? Look at those bubbles as they just flitter and float. And oh, I love bubbles. Aren't they wonderful? Oh, I got to do a few over here. Since all the kids are over here, I can't get Mitchell out of the seat. Oh, I did that one too hard, Jax. It's coming. It's coming. Oh. Is that the best? Oh, man, I love this. Oh, I love bubbles. Bubbles are so great. But do you see the problem with bubbles? Yeah. They're done gone, aren't they? Now that was fun. Yes, Jax? That was good. I wish the preacher would do that every Sunday. But you know what? What was that? 30 seconds? We're done. There's no more bubbles. Bubbles are like our view of forgiveness. It's so temporary. Oh, they're so good at the moment. And everybody's excited to see them. And they float. And your heart lifts. But they're so temporary. They're gone. It's just nothing but air in the middle. I'm not going to say to you that forgiveness has no association to feeling. But I am going to say that we have placed entirely too much emphasis on the feeling of forgiveness to the extent that we fail to recognize the journey of forgiveness. You see, there's not really a whole lot to this, I get that, but there's a whole lot to this, a whole lot more to this than there are those bubbles that were floating around a minute ago. Some of you ladies out there, you've done it. You've taken a little dishwashing soap and you've mixed it with water and everything so the kids get out in the yard and they do the bubble thing, you know. There's a little bit of process to that, isn't there? You got to do something. You see, the substance is here. This is the substance, okay? We're not going to do any more bubbles. But here's the substance, okay? And may I, and I know that this is our thing, but may I suggest to you, okay, one more bubble. But may I suggest to you that in order to really appreciate the bubble, you've got to appreciate the substance. And I take the wand, and what do I do with the wand? I immerse it, may I use the word, baptize it in the substance. And then after I have baptized it in the substance, then you get the crazy cool little bubbles that float all over the place. And everybody gets excited because of the bubbles. But you see the importance. You have no bubbles without the substance. Without somebody mixing up the stuff, going through the process, there's no bubbles. And yet we emphasize the bubbles like the bubbles is the point of it all. And although we all want to have that feeling of forgiveness, really and truly we need to get back to celebrating the substance of forgiveness. So that said, I'd like to suggest to you that forgiveness, true forgiveness, always in Scripture, it seems to me, requires something on our part. Now this smacks, I realize it goes completely in the face of many of the Christian doctrines today. And yet, it's accurate. Consider if you will. In Mark chapter 11, verse 26, it's interesting that Jesus says, in order for you to be forgiven, you have to forgive. And I know that we use this one way too much. But Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Take baptism out of the picture for a moment. We never emphasize this one, and yet it really is the heart of the passage. Did Peter not say, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the what? Remission, or the new NIV says the forgiveness. See, that's forgiveness. That's what we're targeting here. But how do I get there? Specifically in Acts 2, I've got to at least repent and I've got to be baptized in order to get the forgiveness. You see the substance? Everybody wants the feeling. But so many are willing to go the distance to get the feeling. It's the story of the butterfly. That ugly little worm that's crawling across that leaf, consuming everything in its path, preparing for that moment or those moments that it's going to be in that little cocoon. And it's not all that attractive, certainly not compared to what it's going to be. But then that little caterpillar climbs into that cocoon, forms the cocoon around itself. All that takes place. Time passes. And then out comes what? That beautiful butterfly, the monarchs with all their wonderful colors. And we all are mesmerized, kind of like the bubbles. But you understand how the butterfly got there. It had to go through the process, the death process, if you will. It had to climb into the tomb in order to have the resurrection. And many a little boy has tried to help that butterfly out by trying to open the cocoon too early or even in the process. It's not a good idea. Why? Because the butterfly needs the journey. The journey between caterpillar and butterfly is essential. You see, that's the substance. You've got to take the journey. And only when you take the journey can you finally get to the bubbles. But we emphasize bubbles so much that we forget the process it takes to get there. In 1 John chapter 1, we are told that we can have full fellowship with the Father and His folks. But in order to do that, we must walk in the light. You see the process? You see the journey? It doesn't just happen. This past weekend, I was asked to speak out of Luke chapter 15 for the MapQuest. It was a wonderful event. Bryson got to speak six times. In fact, that's why they're not here. They're over there cleaning up, taking care. They had their early Easter service this morning. But Bryson got to speak three times. I got to speak three times. All of mine were out of Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, there's three things that are lost. First of all, there is a sheep that's lost. And second of all, there is a coin that is lost. But it's that third one where it all comes together. It's the child that is lost. You know what's interesting about that passage? In the first story with the sheep, the good shepherd leaves everything, 99 behind, and he goes in search of. In the second story, the coin, the woman loses one of her 10 coins, and she turns the house upside down in search of. Why didn't the dad in the third story go in search of? Did you ever wonder that? It's the climax of the chapter. When we finally get Dad again into the picture, he's standing, as I pictured, on the top of the balcony, looking down the path, waiting for his son. But it doesn't seem that he hires a private investigator. He doesn't send one of his servants out in search of. Why is that? And that's the story, maybe the most famous story in all the Bible. That's the story we zone in on, we relate to most. Why? When the father doesn't even go in search of. Did he not? Can you imagine the agony in the heart of the father to remain behind when his little boy is walking off with his bundle of cash? The agony in the father's heart every day as he goes to the top of the roof or onto the balcony, he looks down the road. Maybe today will be the day. Will he learn his lesson? Will he come home? Even in the third story, there was searching. It's just a different kind of searching. He was looking. He was straining his eyes. He wanted that last child to come home. But here's the point. Some lessons, because we are created with the ability to choose, some lessons have to be learned through our own experiences. And the father knew that. He understood that. But back to our lesson, do you see the journey? Think of the story. I mean, it's horrible. The guy's got major cashage, if that's a word, as he goes off and he's having fun with all of his friends. He runs out of money, and what happens? He runs out of friends too. All kinds of applications. But then where we find him? Next thing, he doesn't even have anything to eat. And so he joins himself up to some guy who's got a bunch of pigs. And the guy says, listen, you can serve me. And so he begins to take care of the pigs, but he's still hungry. And the last scene we have as he comes to himself is, I see it in my mind, face down in the pig slop, because that's all he's got to eat. A lot of things that are disgusting about that. Pigs are dirty, pigs are stinky, pigs are a lot of things. But the big one is, pigs were not Jewish. So we got a little Jewish boy with his face down in a pig slop. He's hit bottom. And it says in the King James, he came to himself. Do you see the journey? It's been tough. In fact, it's not over, because remember what the little guy thinks to himself. I'll just go home and ask Dad if I can be a servant. He is completely, from the beginning to the end, he's underestimated the compassion, the love of his dad. But even at this point, he says, my dad's servant's got it better than I got it. I'm going home and saying, Dad, just make me a servant. Now, you know the end of the story. Dad doesn't do that. Nonsense, he says. You're my child. Kill the fatted calf. Where's that ring? Put a robe on his back. We're having a party. My son who was dead is now alive. You see the journey. But what if we had missed or skipped intentionally the middle part of the story? What if we go from the son gets major cash, goes off and has a big time? Forget the middle part. He comes home and Dad says, let's have a party. I am concerned for a young generation that we have today, because they have been given so much without doing anything to receive it. I am not suggesting at all that we can buy our salvation, but I am suggesting that if there is not a journey in between, we will not appreciate our salvation. The gimme, 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 gimme grace concepts that are constantly being taught to us in the religious world are like the bubbles floating around. And the problem is, every once in a while, we grab one. And for just a split second, we feel good about ourselves, but it doesn't last. You know why? Because I didn't take the journey. The worm had to die to become the butterfly. And unless there's death in the middle, the transition to the bubbles, it's really without foundation, is it? And so you go to our weekend and you recognize a Jesus who went the journey. Why couldn't we have just kind of skipped from the betrayal, the garden, and just skipped all the glory stuff, all the gruesome stuff? Let's just go from Friday night before he's crucified, because we don't want to deal with that. Let's just go with, it's gotten bad, it looks really bad, and then pop over to Sunday and we got bubbles. How would the story play out in our minds? You know why Jesus is the perfect high priest? Because he went the distance. He endured the journey. In spite of the fact that he is saying to his father, I don't want to do this. There is the phrase, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. You see the journey. To the younger generation, you will never fully appreciate unless you take the journey. And there are times when dad or mom, they want the journey for you, but they can't. Because they recognize the journey, the importance, the significance of the journey. I'm close to my end. May I suggest to you, in answering this question, or this challenge, I just want to feel forgiveness. May I suggest you need to think deeper. When we reduce forgiveness to a feeling, we reduce it to the bubbles that are here for a few seconds and then gone. On the other hand, if you understand what I've just said, Mark chapter 11, verse 26, there's something required of us. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, there's something required of us. 1 John chapter 1, there's something required of us. You see the journey? If we will understand the maturity of the need for a journey, then full forgiveness can be ours. Not just in a feeling, but here's the three concepts I'll leave you. Forgiveness, as God wants to forgive, has to be, number one, calculated. It's a calculation. Number two, it's a determination. And number three, it's a realization. Watch this passage and I'll quit. This is the story of Philip and the eunuch. Philip's running alongside the chariot. He says to the eunuch, "You understand what you're reading?" The eunuch says, "How can I unless somebody teaches me?" Invites him up in the chariot. They're going down the road, bumpity bump. They've had their discussion about Jesus. And somewhere in the course of that, it doesn't tell us when, but somewhere in the course of that, the eunuch gets the message, "I need to be baptized." Preaching Jesus always includes a death, a burial, and a resurrection. It always includes that because that's the center point of history. It always includes that. And so the eunuch says, "I need to be baptized. Here's water. Why not now?" And here's our passage. "And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing." Everybody wants the rejoicing, but too few of us are willing to stop the chariot. That's the point of this morning's lesson. You want forgiveness more than the roller coaster ride, more than the bubbles that have nothing really substantive in the middle. You want to really feel forgiveness, you got to take the journey. It's going to cost. It's going to hurt. There's something in your life right now that shouldn't be in your life right now, and you're going to have to cut it out. Better yet, let the Lord cut it out. Colossians chapter 2. He will circumcise the heart. He'll take out the sin in the heart. His hands, his very hands. And interestingly enough, Colossians chapter 2, he says he does that at baptism, in the middle of the death process. So many want the feeling of rejoicing, but they're unwilling to stop the chariot. And so I ask you, it's not Friday. We did that. Randy, you did a good job, but it's not Friday. It's Sunday. And unlike every person who lived under the old law, unlike them, you, for whatever reason, got placed on the human timeline at a spot where you can look back and see the whole picture. It's not, "I wonder what it will be like when the Messiah comes." It's not, "I wonder where he'll show up when the Messiah comes." It's, "I know where he was born. I know what it was like. We've got an entire book that's written about his lifestyle. You see the advantages you've got?" It's not Friday. It's Sunday. A time of new beginnings. You look around the globe and you see nothing but conflict. Easter can be one of the most violent times against Christianity that the world sees every year. This world is passing. There's hurt everywhere. Life is temporary. The stuff that we treasure, it's going to burn. But it's Sunday. Who would have thought? He's a dead man in a tomb on Friday. He is a man resurrected by the power of God on Sunday. And so Paul will say, you need to be buried after you die and then rise to walk in newness of life. Verse 4. You want the new life? It's going to require a journey. Will you take the journey with Jesus? We're going to sing an invitation song, and if you have not treasured Easter like you need to, if it's not a time of new beginnings, if it's just a constant roller coaster ride, if it's just a bunch of bubbles without anything really in the middle, there's no substantive nature to your faith, you need to do something this morning. Because it's Sunday. Let's celebrate Easter. Let's make sure our Savior hears our celebration with regards to Easter. Because we're going to start new right now. If you need to come forward, please do so as we stand and as we sing.